The Marquette Symphony Orchestra is in performance this Saturday evening at Kauffman Auditorium. It's the final concert of the 2018-2019 season. And joining us this morning during Class Eclectic is the conductor of the orchestra, Octavio Masarokas. Welcome, Octavio.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
This is going to be quite the concert, a mix of disciplines and styles, a little bit of jazz mixed in with a classical concert. The big piece is the Shostakovich Symphony No. 5, but there are also two other selections that highlight a virtuosic trumpeter, Alan Vizzuti. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us first a little bit about Alan Vizzuti and the music that he's going to be performing?
Yeah, we're very we're very grateful and thankful to just come with Alan Vizzuti for this concert. So he's just, a virtuoso of the trumpeter, mm-hmm. one of, the most well-known trumpeters of today. And so he's coming to join the NMU Jazz Festival. And this was just a great opportunity to just collaborate with him and with the festival. So we are... we will have him as our feature solo for the first part of the concert. So in the first part of the concert, we are actually performing one of his compositions. It's just three whirlwinds and then an arrangement of his of the Carnival of Venice. Now, so this is a very virtuoso trumpet player and. So both pieces depict that. So just he shows his skills on his own compositions. So you will see, you will hear this trumpet player that plays faster and higher than violins. And it's amazing. And of course, and it's also the sounds and the styles and his beautiful tone and so on that goes with that. But yeah, he's very famous for being a crossover artist between jazz and classical. So he actually does everything just really well, and you can find elements. While this is the winds, the three whirlwinds is essentially a classical piece. You can still just find elements of jazz because with maybe the rhythms and some melodies there, but it's essentially a classical piece. And then the other piece is the Carnival of Venice. It's just it's a very well known tune. It's a very well known melody.
Who's that? Who wrote the Carnival of Venice?
I just don't know who that. I think it's just. I don't know if it's just a popular theme.
Okay.
I've been just.
But he arranged. Alan.
He arranged. Yeah. Yes. He did this arrange. This is his own arrangement, and to fit, of course, his own. You know, his skills and.
Right.
And
this
so
is about a little bit about Alan Vizzuti and his virtuosic trumpet mm-hmm. playing. Mm-hmm. He almost sounds. I'm not familiar with his work, but he almost sounds like the type of musician who is so skilled that he needs to write music that keeps himself interested.
Yeah.
That challenges himself. That's like, I wonder if I can do this. And then he goes to outrageous places and is at the same time very entertaining and deep at the same time.
That sounds like right. You know, like I was a trumpet player. I am a former trumpet player. and as a student, I do remember playing his pieces. So, there were, and they have been in trumpet competitions and so on. So there were pieces that he wrote for himself, and just everybody else just started playing as well. So definitely, there's an element of that. He's also not only that, he's a composer, just mm-hmm. like meaning that he not only just writes things for himself, but he's composing things that other people is playing. So, but coming back to the me being a student before, this is it's very fun, this concert, to have him here, because mm-hmm. when I was a young trumpeter in Spain, when I was just a student in Spain, there is this very famous trumpet festival in Spain that they bring, you know, the best trumpeters of the moment. And so when I was a student, one of the feature teachers was Alain Bisutti. And I remember, I don't know how old I was, but as a young student, just playing actually one of his pieces for him. Yes,
that's
right.
Intimidating. Yeah.
It is. I mean, you just, you're like, okay, this is Alain Bisutti. You
There's
know,
no
just
way
like,
to do this right.
Right. I mean, this is the guy, you know, this is the main person, a very famous trumpeter, and you're playing for this very famous trumpeter, and you're playing one of his pieces. And I just push forward a few years later, and then now we're here in Marquette together to make music together. So it's just going to be conducting his music and the orchestra for him. So it's kind of like very special how everything turns around, and just like to see him again and so on. So it's going to be a great first part of the concert. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the second half features the magnificent Shostakovich Symphony No. 5, which you were telling me just a moment ago was a pretty important piece, not just in the classical repertoire, but in his life,
right,
and actually to keep himself alive, in a sense.
Uh-huh,
tell
right.
us a little bit of the background of the music.
Yeah, so we need to understand, like, this is the symphony that... he wrote the symphony to reconcile with the regime. And so before this, when he was very young, around 21 years old, and he wrote his first symphony as a to complete his studies in the conservatoire. And then this first symphony was just an immense success, not only in Russia, but all over the world. I mean, just for such a young composer to just write something like that was incredible. And still the critics there in Russia were like, well, he still have much to learn. They were thinking, you know, like, yes, I mean, his language, he needs to develop his language, and he has much to learn. And as a young, reckless composer, so he just keep evolving, but probably not in the way that they were expecting. So he kept trying things more in the way that what was going on in the rest of Europe at that time. So just trying new harmonies, new melodic languages, and not in the avant-garde style, but just more closer to that than what the regime was expecting in Russia. So if you just, for instance, for example, if you just listen to the symphony number 2 or 3, the two most immediate symphonies after the first, you couldn't believe that that's actually Shostakovich. Many times I just used that to stun my friends. So like, mm-hmm. I just play the second symphony and say, okay, name a composer, and they can just they can name the composer. Just they are not so well known, the second and third symphony, and mm-hmm. one of the reasons is just because of what happened right after that. They are wonderful symphonies, but strange for a composer of the time. So you see that he explored languages that were very far from what the regime was expecting of him. And so then, of course, the critics were literally on him. The regime was on him as well. So just how can just be that this just young composer is writing this, just to the point that he felt threatened, and to the point just literally he was just feeling threatened for his life.
And, literally fearing for his life.
Literally fearing. Music. Exactly. He was fearing that he was going to just be exiled to, or he was going to just be sent to the, I mean, there are all these letters and writings that say that he was actually just fearing for his life, like he was going to be sent to war camps, mm-hmm. in the, you know, and so that the, he was going to be bullies, you know, from the concert stage. So he kind of like wrote this symphony to reconcile with this, with the regime. He had to just make his life good in Russia and actually just his life itself. So this was the symphony that he proclaimed, in which he proclaimed, okay, yes, I'm going to be part of this. And when he just composed it, when in the premiere, actually the authorities were there, all the composers of the Society of Composers in Russia were there, which was a very heavy society there, and just whatever, they, you know, heavily dictated by the regime. So just if they just kind of like they give him this stamp of approval,
right.
Of approval, and so but even just the symphony have been a lot of critics and theories that historians have been written a lot about this, and there are books about the relationship of Shostakovich with the regime and all that based on this symphony. So, for instance, just, you know, it seems like it's a more, I would say, a language, this symphony, the language that he uses in the symphony is a more understandable language. You realize about melodies. You just see, you probably can live the concert just whistling some melodies, and it's very optimistic, and there is triumphal, and it's just very Shostakovich. So, for instance, like in the ending, it's a very famous ending. Like there are all these long brass chorales that go forever, and just beautiful and very optimistic, very enthusiastic, and very bombastic, as bombastic as the regime would like him to write. But underneath that, for there is just this this note A just happening in the string, the entire string section, and the winds jam pam 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 pam, and the brass is just like doing all these fantastic chorales on top. It's kind of, but so it's many writers said that this was the way of him saying, okay, yes, you need to be happy, but we are telling you how to be happy. It's just the regime is just mandating the way of how you need to be happy. You know, it's just like dictated happiness. And there are other things, like, for instance, he uses themes in the first movement from Saint-Saëns from Carmen. Okay. And how the really? Themes drive from the opera Carmen, and just like how what that means, the meaning of the relationship from that, and what it means in the regime, and the topic of Carmen just bring it to the regime. So it's something like he's hiding these messages, you know.
Yeah.
And then the second movement is kind of like a mock. It's just mocking everyone there. Mm-hmm. And you know, when and he was just very he wasn't concrete about things. He was always very ambiguous about everything. So just all the historians will come and say, okay, this is what this means. And they go, oh, sure. This is what it means. Oh, sure. And so there are all these contradicting things.
Couldn't quite pin them down.
Right. So it's just a very political symphony, but also a very on itself is just beautiful and amazing music, which is that I think that the most important thing about this symphony, I mean, there are, you can find all the political messages, but the most important thing right now is that he left us with a beautiful and amazing symphony. Music is fantastic, and that's what prevails, I think.
And you can hear a live performance of Shostakovich's Fifth Symphony, along with music of Alan Mizzutti, Saturday night at 7:30 at Kauffman Auditorium by the Marquette Symphony Orchestra. Octavio Masarokas, thank you so much for stopping by today.
Thank you for having me. Thank you. A pleasure.